This is the finishing portion of this morning's message. Go ahead and open up to Romans 1, 16, and then this time we're going to go all the way to Acts 14, so you can put a marker there. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and that word power, in the Greek, there's two words that are usually translated power. One of them is exousia, and that means authority. But this one is dunamis, and that means really raw explosive power. This is where we get our word dynamite from. So when he says the gospel, you could say it this way. The gospel is the dynamite of God. And you ever needed any dynamite? God, I need some explosive power. I've been dealing with this long enough. Well, the gospel is that very power. But it's not the mamby-pamby, washed, watered down, whitewashed, purified, homogenized gospel that's normally called the gospel. It's the gospel of the kingdom. It is the gospel that Jesus preached. And it really is the word, for those of you that's been here since the hula hoop message, it is the word that has been given to us from he who lives in that realm, extending his grace to this realm, not our realm. I started to say our realm, but really this is not our realm anymore. This physical realm where we live is our temporary assignment. We are on loan, on temporary assignment here, but we are really from the realm of the Creator. We are offspring of the living God. We are from that realm, and we have a spirit from that realm, and that's really who you are. Just like God is a spirit, at your core, you are a spirit. I am a spirit. That's why his chosen method of teaching us is spirit to spirit. That's who he is. That's who we are. No wonder he devised a language that circumvents the natural mind. That's not who he's really trying to teach anyway. He is teaching and educating the real us, which is our spirit man. 1 Corinthians 14:2. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him. How be it in the spirit, in the spirit, in the spirit, in the spirit, he is speaking mysteries. Things that the natural mind just goes tilt. What? You did what? You want to do what? When God wants to show up with his dynamite power and blast cancer out of a person, or blast sin out of a person, or blast addiction out of a person, or whatever it is, the dynamite power is the gospel of God. Amen? So Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power, it is the dunamis, it is the dynamite of God unto salvation. And that, see, in our Western mind, we just automatically equate salvation with the new birth experience. Well, that's part of it. If you're lost, you sure need the new birth experience. That's the number one thing, is to be born again. But that word salvation, the root word there is sozo. Sozo is deliverance in any realm. Sozo to a blind person is the ability to see. Sozo to a broke person is some cash. Sozo to a depressed person is deliverance from depression. You see what I'm saying? It's whatever. But well, what is the dynamite power? It is the gospel. It is his word. Did you know the prophet Jeremiah was not lying when he said, God watches over his word to perform it. He watches over his word to perform it. When I think about that in Gary's life, it scares me a little bit. When I'm thinking about, well, exactly what word is Gary giving for the Holy Spirit to perform? Because trust me, he's not watching Gary's words to perform it. He's watching the Father's word to perform it. All right, now going over to Acts 14, because I got so caught up today in on the side of listening to and obeying the Holy Ghost that I forgot the normal teaching that we use, but it is very important out of Acts 14. I'm so laser focused right now on us. When I say us, I mean all of us. The Mary, what is it, Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper, not just in services, but all the time. I'm listening so hard every time I'm around people now. I take my little lily cakes to the, she calls it the Green Hill Park. It's the one there at 41st and Riverside, and they got those little grass-covered green hills, and they got the whirligig thing that I spin her around on that till she's so dizzy she can't walk. She loves it, and I love it more, you know. And around people anywhere now, and I'm listening. And you'll see people with a cane or somebody in a walker or just somebody that looks depressed. And all of my radar is up, and I hope yours is up now, listening for the Holy Ghost, listening. What do you want to do, Father? What do you want to do? Hallelujah. Okay. Did I say go to Acts 14? I did good. Praise the Lord. Okay, so Acts 14, let's look at verse 6 through 10. They went to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the what? They were preaching the gospel. Okay? There sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple, not just recently, but from his mother's womb. Now, how many of you think this passage might apply to Tori? For those that don't know, Victoria is a girl, a daughter born to a family in this church. She's a teenager now, I believe. She was born with a birth defect. Part of her brain was just not there, and still not there when she's born. And so she has enough to do her motor functions and her heartbeats and all of that works. She can make sound, but she can't really articulate speech. And how many of you know it's a birth defect? It's just a birth defect. No different than this guy born impotent in his feet or the other guy we could look at that was born blind. It's just a birth. Everyone say it this way. It's just a birth defect. But if you're the one living with Tori, it's very difficult. And I've been there, and they're heroes in my sight that they choose to live, keep her in the house, love her, and not put her away somewhere. They've done it for all these years. But this applies to Victoria. It doesn't matter how serious it is. What difference does it make to God? I mean, let's talk to Sarai, who became Sarah, Abraham's wife. Here she is almost 100 years old. Well, she's 90, I think. She's about 90 years old, always barren in the first place. Now, whatever hope she had in the natural is gone because it's past the time of the way of women. I would think at 90, it would be past the time of the way of women. So now in the natural, I mean, in the history of the world, no woman ever got pregnant when it was past the time. There's nothing, no eggs to be fertilized anymore, you know. Yet God comes and says about this time next year, you're going to have a baby. And you know what she did, right? She laughed. Wouldn't you? Come on. Jeez, you're so funny, God. When I think about this, oh God, you tell jokes. I did. Who knew? You're so funny, God. I'm going to have a baby. Sure I am. Yeah, right. Oh, you're funny, God. He said, why are you laughing? Oh, you're serious? And he just tells her. He asks her the question that we should ask. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Whew. Now here we're at the hula hoop again. I see the hula hoop right now. See, this is where we are. If you don't know what I mean, I'm talking about the message titled Higher Thoughts and Higher Ways. And if you can, watch it on video rather than just listen to it. That one is better seen than heard. But we live in this realm that has all kinds of possibilities and impossibilities. We're very much like the Flatlander. We know our universe. We know what's possible, what's not possible. Yet there is a God, a creator, watching us from the realm where he lives. His ways and his thoughts, let's say it another way, what's possible is so vastly different than what we perceive to be possible. He can do exceeding, not just a little bit, exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask, and this is the part that gets me, or even think. And that never came so alive to me until I had the Flatlander message. Because that Flatlander guy, to him, he had such an impossible dilemma. There was nothing in his universe to even allow him to think of stepping over that hula hoop. There was nothing. I mean, to God, what was so simple was just an absolute impossibility. How often do we limit God like that? So here's a guy born lame from his mother's womb. Boy in Earthland, that's a big one. That's a toughie. Born that way, not likely to ever walk. I can imagine. I try and meditate this. I've been at this a long time, and I try and meditate. See, I've seen people that, well, do y'all know I had polio, right? When I was 5 years old, I didn't walk for like 2 years. My legs atrophied so much. I remember looking down at my own legs, and they were so little. That's just after 2 years. Well, what's, you know, somebody born that way, does it say how old the guy was? It doesn't say on this one, but born that way, never walked. Little bird legs. I can imagine, you know, just everything in the natural would say no. So what happens? Well, Paul is preaching the gospel. There sat a certain man of Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Those little bird legs. Now, what does he do? This is the part I left out this morning because I got so caught up in how the Holy Spirit allowed Paul to know that the man had faith. See? It says Paul perceived that he had faith. Well, you don't perceive that somebody has faith by looking at them on the outside. I've had people try and tell me they had faith. They're saying all the right things, and they're not operating in faith. I can't see their heart like God does. How did he perceive that the man had faith? The Holy Ghost showed him. It's called a word of knowledge. Well, then you got to act on it. You got to trust what the Holy Ghost shows you. Takes a relationship with the Holy Ghost, not formula. Anyway, that was this morning's message. But let's look at the other side. Let's look at it from this guy's point of view. I want to stick with the gospel is the power of God. So we're plainly told Paul is preaching the gospel. This guy is hearing Paul speak. You see that? The same heard Paul speak. So Paul is preaching the gospel. This man is hearing the gospel, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Now the Holy Ghost had to show Paul that. When it says he perceived, you can't perceive that with the natural senses. The Holy Spirit had to tell him. But how did the man get faith? That's the point I want to make sure we get tonight. Faith comes how? Do we pray for faith? No. Do you beg for faith? Do you do penance for faith? I've actually heard people do that. You're going to whip themselves and stuff. Maybe God will give them faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So in this case, Paul is not just preaching a new birth gospel, is he? That's the point. What the gospel that Paul is preaching includes healing, even for a birth defect guy. Otherwise, the guy would never have had faith. He would never have had faith. The gospel that Paul is preaching is not this watered down, mamby-pamby, whitewashed, domesticated, politically correct gospel that they call the gospel today. It's no more the gospel than I'm a goose, which I'm not. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The gospel of Jesus Christ says, cripple! You don't have to be crippled anymore. The kingdom of God is at hand for you, birth defect guy who's never walked. You can walk, and you can walk today. And the guy's going, do you know what the snail said when he got up on the turtle's back? Whee! I mean, to the snail, he's going so fast it blew his little snail hair back. And he's, whee! Well, this guy, this cripple, he's hearing this gospel and it's, whee! I never heard anything like this. Whee! I never heard anything like this before. And it's his choice and it's always our choice. But they don't have a choice if we don't preach the gospel. Excuse me, I got to dance for a minute. We don't even give them a choice. We're going to play it safe. Okay, now, I don't want to preach anything too radical. What if the Holy Ghost doesn't back me up? And there it is. That's it right there. Oh, I don't want to get too extreme with this now, because then they might want me to pray and stuff. And I'll preach, cripple, you can walk today. Uh-oh, there's a cripple here. Like, again, I'm reminded of Dave, that first one. He does it a lot better than I do, but he was so intimidated. Remember, he didn't even want to come out and say anything. The poor little guitar guy is going through all of his songs for the third time or the fourth time. He keeps looking around. Dave's hiding back there somewhere. Little, Jesus loves me, this I know. Looking back for Dave. And finally, Dave comes out. Only thing he can even say anything about is Kenneth Hagin's testimony. Baptist boy. On the bed of affliction. Does anybody need prayer? Probably a little longer than that. This lady. Yeah, I need prayer, sonny. What do you need prayer for? I'm deaf in this ear. Shh. I love the transparency, don't you? Shh. I'm sure Dave was hoping it was a headache or something little. Shh. What?
I'm deaf in this ear, sonny. I can't hear.
Oh. Dave puts his hand on the ear. In the name. Open. And he goes something like, Jesus. And he says, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
He goes, what? It's about the way I was the first time I was right here on this front row, right here, was preaching. In those days, we did Calling in the Lost over in that section. And I asked her if anybody needed prayer. Nobody said anything, so everybody's filing out after the service. And that lady over there said, would you mind to pray for me? And part of me's going, didn't I just ask you? But anyway, well, sure. And it was she's having back pain. And so I did the eat thing, and then I put her in the chair. And I'm just doing what I'd seen Dave do. I don't remember ever, doing it before. And I just set her right there, and I got down, kneeled in front, and put her little, had her stick her legs out, and put them in the palms, her little ankles in the palm of my hand. And sure enough, one was about 3/4 of an inch, maybe an inch shorter than the other one. And part of you on the inside, I mean, I'm just doing what I seen Dave do. I would like to say I was so full of faith. I was confident. I was this, I was that. No. My mind was screaming, what if it doesn't work? What if nothing happens? But I'm doing it anyway. Amen. See, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is going ahead right in the midst of fear. Courage is facing it down anyway. Well, I went ahead. I did have courage. May not have been faith, but I had courage. And I had her little, and to be honest, I remember I closed my eyes. I was afraid to look. I closed my eyes. In the name of, and that's about as far as I got. I'll never forget it, the longest day I live. I felt that short ankle slide across my palm. I did the frog eyes that time. I looked at her. She had frog eyes looking back at me. I went, did you do that? She went, no, did you? I said, there's somebody else here. Somebody else is here. Somebody else. It was God, the Holy Ghost. I'll never forget. Well, that's the way Dave was. Yes, sonny. I can hear you. You can? Y'all know the story now. Eh? It changed then. No more. Shh. It was, and Dave does it. She was deaf, but I prayed for her, and God opened her ear, Well, it's okay to be excited. I think the Holy Ghost is excited also. I think he enjoys watching us as we learn to cooperate with him. I think he likes that. I think he liked it watching Paul. I think he was so happy that Paul was preaching the real gospel to the point that this man, I wish I had a transcript of Paul's message. But I'm telling you what was in it was more than the new birth experience. It was more than God loves you. It was more than a little sappy little message, because to a guy born lame from his mother's womb, in Paul's gospel, Whatever it was he said, whatever the words were, it was enough to bring faith into a cripple's heart where the world was giving him no hope at all. Yet he, look at it yourself, he had faith to be healed. Whew. How strong was that message? What was the gospel that Paul was preaching? It's the one we're supposed to be preaching. The kingdom of God is at hand. So in light of the hula hoop message, I would say it's something like this. Our Creator has lovingly extended His dynamite from His realm to this realm. And you can have anything you need from Him based on the finished work of Christ alone, if you can believe. Is that the gut? See, after you speak up, then you've got to put up, or then you have to shut up. Pack up and get out. I think part of it, I think we're at the point now where we believe it enough to preach it. And I found out that's part of the battle. You really do have to come to the place where you intellectually believe it yourself. Okay? Now, yes, sir. Okay, and again, my job is not to ignore the teachings, the little visions. We have arrived at, so you know what that's called? You know what Dave calls that when you finally have arrived at that knowledge that the gospel is true? Dave says, finally you made it. You have finally arrived at Tootsie Roll Pop faith. And he saw Christians full of head knowledge. Remember? Full of, you know, like a Tootsie Roll Pop. It's got that round ball and a skinny little stick. And that's pretty much where the church is now. See, we're at the end, and that's okay. This is God's deal. Remember the prophecy by Smith Wigglesworth? What was the third wave? Hello. The third wave of the healing revival that he saw was the teaching wave. Well, we've just come through that. And it's still lots of teaching. Well, what happens in a teaching wave? What happens? You get knowledge. Well, our heads are full now. We have arrived at Tootsie Roll Pop faith. But that skinny little stick, it represents our little tiny spirit. Now that intellectual head knowledge is not faith. What has to happen now is now that knowledge needs to be passed through our whole system, our whole spirit. We have to grow up now and function. Part of that, a big part of that, is learning how to fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Because if it doesn't eventually translate into power, yes, sir. Now, see, when I preach this, I'm preaching it with full knowledge that Johnny Johnson is in ICU. Okay? So the enemy beats me up saying, how can you preach this when Johnny's over there? Well, I'm preaching it because it's the truth. You know, somebody has to go spy out the land. Somebody's got to bring back the cluster of grapes. We're in that stage. We're going to go in and possess the land real shortly here. I've got another friend in Florida right now that sugar diabetes has taken his eyesight. And this is a man of God. This guy has individually, single-handed, probably won more teenagers to Christ in Immokalee, Florida, than any other person in history. And now the enemy, through sugar diabetes, has taken his sight. How many of you knows that is not the plan of God? That is not the will of God. And God is going to restore his sight. We have a promise. We have promises. We have a gospel of the kingdom that belongs to us. And in short order, he's going to be able to see again. So why are you preaching this? Because it's the truth. It's where we are. And that you don't have to have a, well, maybe Pastor Dave will get to go. Well, maybe he will, but God's not, he doesn't want to wait until Pastor Dave can go down there. He wants to do it through normal, everyday believers. He would do it even through that guy's own faith himself. But we have got to not only be lollipop, that's what I was looking for, lollipop Christians. We have got to become full, mature, spirit-trained, battle-hardened, is that okay? Boot camp-equipped, armed soldiers in the army of God. Hallelujah. All right, so let's look at this verse again. Number one, Paul preached the gospel. Number two, that gospel had a lot more in it than you can be born again. Thank God that's part of it. But because the man hearing it, this crippled man, include what Paul called preaching the gospel included miracles for the impossible case. Otherwise, the man would never have had faith. But then the man himself, as faith came into him, Paul perceived that he had faith to be healed. Now notice then Paul was willing to act the fool. Can I say it that way? I hope I'm there. Who knows, my next service might be somewhere. And there's a guy there that's born crippled from his mother's womb. And I may preach. He may have me preach that same kind of message. Gary, are you ready to say to this guy who's never walked? What did Paul say to him? Let's get it. With a loud voice, not shh. not shh. With a loud voice to a guy who has never, ever walked. Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. Hallelujah. Reminded again now, I had the pleasure on this trip to Birmingham to meet with this 95-year-old man that used to be in the services with A.A. Allen and William Branham. I'm going to tell you that story again because I see it again. See, this guy is a guy who came up to be healed, was in the war, and his upper right arm, the bone that goes from the shoulder to the elbow, was just shattered in lots and lots of pieces. He says, the man telling me this, he says, have you ever taken a dish rag and just rolled it up, you know? You know how you can just take a dish rag and just roll it like that, just wring it out? He says, you could do that with this man's arm. And just roll it completely around and around and around, and you could watch this part of the arm just exactly like taking a wash rag. You just watch. It didn't hurt him or anything, you know, because that bone was so shattered. But it was completely useless to him. It just hung there. There wasn't anything he could do with it because, you know, you couldn't lift it up or anything. The minister says, how many of you believe God is going to fix this bone in this man's arm? Yeah, you know, had him up to faith, prayed for the guy, and in short order, the man was lifting his arm. He said hundreds of people stayed after the meeting just to come by and feel the bone in the man's arm, because they had watched it just be rolled up like a dish rag, and now it's a normal arm. You think our God has forgotten how to do that? I don't think he has at all. Was that just for somebody in the healing revival? That was in that part of that healing revival after World War II, see? No. That was the first wave that Smith saw. The one we're coming into now is the wave of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And it is intended, Smith, the way he saw it, he said, this will be the greatest revival in the history of the world. Boy, I thought about that. I thought about that statement. There has been some really awesome revivals around this world. But then I began to understand why. When you think of it, though, most of those revivals have occurred in the English-speaking lands. There's never been a revival of any kind in Japan, in recorded history, never been one, yet God has called our pastor to Japan. I'll tell you another place, there's never been a real revival like what we would call revival in Poland. Never has been, for another reason, which we won't get into tonight. But there's never been one there. See, this revival is not only going to... How many of you think America needs revival? It's the only hope. I mean, there is no hope that I can see anymore. We have got to have a real revival where the fear of God and the love of God and the truth of God has to be reinstated in our land. Well, thank God. I'm looking for that. But see, this revival, because of the signs and the wonders, you know, you don't have to speak English. If somebody comes and prays in the name of Jesus and your mother gets healed, your crippled daughter gets healed, you don't even have to speak English, really. That sign and wonder crosses all language barriers, doesn't it? All I know is she was crippled before, and now she's okay, and he prayed in the name of Jesus. Well, that guy's going to want to know more about you, Jesus. So this harvest, I see now why it's going to be the greatest revival. It is going to harvest. Well, I don't even know all those religions, but all of them. Because we're going to not just preach the word with enticing words of man's wisdom anymore. We're going to preach the word in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. And I am a candidate for that. I know you're a candidate for that. You're the diehard of the diehard to be here on Sunday night. Let me just ask you straight out. If the Holy Ghost asks you to do something scary or embarrassing, would you be willing to do it? Okay? Well, he's going to try you on that. He's going to try you on. And it doesn't normally start with, we always go, where's the funeral you want me to stop and raise the dead? No. It doesn't normally start there. It normally starts, he's very gentle. Maybe another good title for this one would be Baby Steps. He normally starts you off with baby steps. And that'll take all the faith. Trust me, that'll try you. The time you told me to give that lady $10 over there. Well, it was the only $10 I had. I want to eat tomorrow. My wife has this strange eating habit. She wants to eat every day. And a lot of days she wants to eat more than once. And we're giving away our only $10. Well, we found out he still feeds you. Later on, it was $5,000. I'm not going to talk about other ones since then. Later on, it's put your finger in that lady's mouth. I don't know what's going to come next. You know? Yeah. So hang on. Incoming. See? I don't know whether you want somebody to prophesy or just prophesy. Prophesy or just say. Even in the sound of my voice, there are those whom I've called to wield finances for my kingdom. There are arising now those weaned from the breast. Those whose eyes are turned toward heaven more than they are towards earth. Whose trust is in my hand and not in what they see, who will obey my voice, step out onto the waters, even at night in the raging wind, and fear not with every step, for they trust the voice of the Lord their God, and they shall fuel the combines of revival that shall harvest in these last days, says the Spirit of the Lord. Whew. Did you hear the wind blow right there? Better get your sail up. The wind is blowing. The Holy Spirit's like the wind. Can't see him. Boy, you can tell where he's been. You can tell where he's been. You can tell he's taking you somewhere. Better have your sail up. God, that was good. I can't wait to go hear that one myself. Glory to God. I love that. I remember. I don't know if there's going to be a whole lot more stewards for the kingdom. And that's those people that handle God's money. Then there will be entrepreneurs, and that's those that are able to conquer the money and bring it in. Bring it in. There'll be more stewards than there are entrepreneurs. But for either one, your heart has to be his. And I don't mean you have to just trust him to go to heaven. I mean you got to trust him for your next biscuit. No fear. No fear. I think about Jesus. You know, we always think of it from the disciples' perspective in the boat. When Jesus came walking by on the water and they thought he was a ghost, you know. Thought it was some kind of spirit. Well, what would you think? But it says it was nighttime. And the winds were boisterous. What caused Peter to sink? He got to looking at the wind and the waves. That's right. But see, we don't think about it from Jesus' point of view. He told them, "You go ahead. You go ahead and go over to the other side." And he stayed and he prayed some more in fellowship with the Father. So now get this. He comes down from the season of prayer, comes to the edge of the Sea of Galilee. There's a storm. Wind's blowing, waves billowing. It is nighttime. Do you are aware he did not have a flashlight? You are aware that if there's a storm, probably the moon is not shining real bright. Not only is he going to step out on the water, he's stepping out on the water in the dark with waves. And it's one step at a time. Hello, entrepreneur. He's going to have you step out. Everything is going to look wrong. It's the wrong time to do this. The winds are blowing. It's dark, Lord. Nobody else is acting. And he says, act. He says, step. In the dark, I know where you're going. How far you want me to go? Maybe after the first mile. Now you look back and even you can't see land anymore. I don't know how far it was. What if it's out of sight far? Do you ever meditate like that? I get out there, I want to grab a life preserver. You ever meditate like that? Man, I've walked out there in my mind. I've walked out there. But see, in your circumstances, that's going to happen. Whether you're an entrepreneur, whatever it is he calls you to do, honey, he's going to have you step out where nobody else is stepping. And at your path, you have to trust that he knows where you're going. Because you can't even see, it's dark. Have you ever noticed it's hard to find a path in the water? Where is the well-worn path here? And you know, he wasn't trying to make it to the boat. For years I didn't know what that meant. He would have passed them by. He expected them to have faith, first off. This wasn't their first encounter with a storm. Boy, I did not know he was going here tonight. And you know why he would have passed them by? Well, he was on an assignment from God. He was going to the other side himself. He was going to fulfill what God called him to do. I've taught these guys, surely they have faith. Ah, it's a ghost. Maybe they don't have faith. Don't be afraid, it's me. Okay. Can you see what, not teaching really on that tonight, but apparently some of you, not just the people in this room, some of you are at the place now. He's going to have you step out. Not just to make it to the lifeboat, quote. No, he's going to take you all the way to the other side. He may have you rescue the lifeboat as you go across. And don't tell me you can't do it. Peter stepped out of the boat. Now we razz Peter sometimes, don't we? But boy, I admire Peter. How does Dave say that? I would rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat sitter. By golly, he stepped out of the boat and he walked on the water. And only when he got his eyes off of Jesus. Now let's say it this way. Only when he got his eyes off of the Word. Yes. Jesus is the Word. Now, what he means there, the Word that he gave you that caused you to step out of the boat. Lord, if it be you, bid me come. Jesus looks. It's me. Come. Now see, you can't just go walk across the swimming pool because you want to see how big your faith is, you know. Dave talks about a friend of his that tried that and went straight to the bottom, you know. But if Jesus says, come, now you have your Word. And you got to keep your eyes on that Word. And I don't care if the winds blow and the waves are boisterous. You keep your focus on what God said. Okay, I'm going to close with this. The analogy or the example from my life that I'm seeing again right now, most of you have heard this. Many years ago when the ministry was growing, Sue and I, I'm talking about the cassette tapes, and our instructions were to send them all for free, don't charge anything, and send out no appeal letters, okay, for us. I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. I'm just saying that's the instructions we had, and everything was fine till we went on the Sid Roth program. And Sid Roth reaches millions and millions of households, and we offered to give away 2 free tapes to anybody who asked. That was pretty scary. That's a stepping out on the water experience to a certain degree. At that point, Then the people asking for tapes greatly increased. Up until then, the finances normally came in enough to meet the expenses most of the time. But they didn't from that point on for about 2 years. And I did not know what else to do. I mean, we got to the point we had tapes piled up. I could show you a picture where they're from the floor to the ceiling almost, already in the bubble mailers with the addresses on them, ready to go. But there was no postage. We had no money to buy the postage. You're talking thousands of dollars. Plus, we'd used up all the cassette tapes, and now we have all these requests for cassettes. And I didn't know what else to do, and I kept asking God, and the silence was deafening. And what I've learned is, until He tells you the next thing to do, your job is to keep doing the last thing that He told you to do. So I said, well, He told us to send them all free. He didn't tell us to not send them. Here's my Visa card. Buy postage. Buy blank tapes. Buy whatever. And so we did that. And we ran a deficit for about 2 years. It got to be roughly, I'd have to go back and get the numbers now. If you hear this on a previous tape, those numbers are more correct than this one. But it was in the middle 40s, about $46,000, $47,000, something like that. Yeah, somebody went, what? That's better than being born crippled. But it's pretty, that's enough, isn't it? You ought to heard some of my conversations in those days with God. How does Dave say that? My lower lip was interfering with the gas pedal as I tried to drive. Well, I've obeyed you, God, and we haven't sent out any appeal letters, and we're not charged for anything. My credit rating used to be really good, and now I couldn't. Oh, God, and on and on and on, you know. But I never could hear anything different to do, so I just made up my mind. Until He tells me, I'm going to obey the last thing that I heard. If I wind up in the poorhouse, if I wind up being sued, if I wind up bankrupt, I'm going to, I'll go to my grave obeying God. Even if I'm missing it, I'm still, I don't know what else to do but obey the last thing I heard. I never did sin. Boy, and the temptation, people, the temptation. And this would have been, now for me, this is how Gary would have sunk. I mean, let me tell you, okay, the circumstance, the winds were boisterous. The pressure was there. Now we're having trouble even enough money to pay the payments. You ever been there? Don't answer. You know? Winds are boisterous, and it would have been so easy, and the devil was doing everything he could to get me to look away from the Word. I would, at night, I would catch myself at night composing appeal letters in my mind. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm not the dullest either. I can make a nice appeal letter that doesn't read like an appeal letter if I want to. You know? No, I would come to myself. No, no. I'd make sure that next letter sounded like we had $10 million in the bank. Absolutely no way. And because we kept our eyes on what? On the Word, on what He told us. He did it Himself in 1 year. Without us doing anything, without ever, nobody even knew, except just the Sue and I and the immediate employees there at the ministry. God took it upon Himself. In a year, these large gifts began to come. Hey, we're not used to getting $1,000 gifts. What I mean, donations to the ministry, it's usually $25, $50, $10, $35, $100, $100, glory. We started getting, the first one was a $5,000 gift from somebody in Australia. You remember? I had to call the guy because he'd never given. I think he gave twice before, and each time was like 300. And I said, how come he'd give so much? He said, oh, I've been saving up. That's all he told me. Sure enough, we'll put that $5,000 on the debt. Within a week, we got another one for $7,000. Within a week or so, somebody who didn't even know they had a relative in Hungary, a relative died in Hungary and left them $100,000. Didn't even know it. They decided to give us $10,000 of it. Went right on the debt. In 1 year, we went from roughly $46,000 in debt. We were right near the end of the year, and I think we owed $1,300 and a few dollars. And my friend, Pastor Jin Ho Kim from Korea, called me. But at the end of the conversation, we're right near the first of the year. He says, oh, by the way, we took up offering for your ministry. We already wired to your bank. You'll be blessed. Have a happy new year. Hung up. I'm thinking, wired to the bank? I get into the bank account. $1,300 and some odd dollars. But we went from $46,000 in the hole to debt-free in a single year. And we never did it. We never disobeyed him. We never took our eyes off the word. Scary as all get out now. Scary. Never we obeyed him, and he did it himself. And when it was all over, my lightning quick mind, it finally dawned on me. He did what he said. That's exactly what he had told me in the beginning. He says, sell no tapes, make everything free, never send out an appeal letter, never let anybody know the needs of the ministry, and if you'll obey me, I will speak to the hearts of the people I choose to support the ministry and you. And that is exactly what he did. He spoke to this one in Australia, send 5,000. He spoke to this one, send 10,000. He spoke to this one, send 7,000. And in a year, and you know what's really the miraculous part? When the debt was paid off, those gifts stopped. Which lets you know it was him. They stopped just as quickly as they started. Part of me was hoping they wouldn't. That's probably the flesh part. But they did. Proof. He will get you to the other side. He asked me a question one time. He said, would you like it if I pass millions through your hands? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'd like that. He said, good. So what if I did that every day? Ooh, Lord, yeah. And you went to bed with zero every night. What? Yeah. Remember that hose? We're mainly use that in the context of healing or deliverance, you know, his power. But what if you're a hose for finances in the kingdom of God? Amen. What if you're just a hose? I want you to put $1 million here today. I don't have $1 million. You will have in 10 minutes. But by tonight when you go to bed, you won't have it anymore. And it's going to be the same tomorrow. And then the same tomorrow. Back to zero again. What does it matter? Trust me. He'll provide what you need. You'll get to eat. You'll have a car to drive. What you need. You understand what I'm saying? What you need. Hallelujah. Okay. Yes, sir. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I lived through it. I know he can speak to people. Send 5,000. And it's people that has 5,000. He can speak to them. Send 10,000. Trust me. Around this world, he has people he can speak to. Send 5 million. And they can do it. What he's needing on the other end of that equation is somebody who doesn't think that 5 million belongs to them.